Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM. You are now listening to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, weekdays from 4:30 to 6, only on Eagle FM. Download the app or tune in to a frequency near you.
Dear career politicians,
today they are literally off the block.
Career politician or anyone that, when I say dear career politicians, I mostly mean those ones that are usually, you know, in our age range and they are looking into getting into politics. Not the Minister of ICT and Minister of Health that are already in. If you are getting in, you know, if you are working your way into getting in politics.
To mention Minister of Health. There'll be an event that I have to go to next week, and probably she might be listening.
Which is why you didn't say that. Now, good afternoon and welcome to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, your drive time show here to keep you company as always until the hour of 6. And today we bring you again another report. Yesterday, it was a performance report coming out of the Office of the Auditor General. That's where they were looking at the Ministry of Mines, Directorate of Mine, and NAMRA's Revenue Collection and Gold Mining Sector. Mm. Now, today's discussion is also somewhat a report. Yeah, it's a report, but it's our SOEs are busy. And I'm just loving the report. Today, we shift to the Office of the Ombudsman. Now, this one is... the thing is that these two reports, the one that we covered yesterday and the one that we are going to be using today as our main source of reference, one thing they have in common is NAMRA. NAMRA is not catching a break this week.
No. Yesterday's report was media. We talked about Tuesday's report.
Oh, yeah, Tuesday's report. Yeah, yesterday was media.
Yeah.
The one for Directorate of Mining and NAMRA's Revenue Collection Discussion, that was Tuesday.
That was Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday and today, one thing they have in common, NAMRA. Now, the one for Tuesday, NAMRA was not directly involved into sort of like finger pointing of what was taking place in everything that was basically looked at, what's hindering revenue collection or the challenges being faced, revenue collection in the, you know, gold mining sphere of things. Today is one that does not also like, NAMRA is the main character. And... Now, again, did I mention it's a report from the ombudsman, not us?
Look, we are serious. We are serious here. But but when you read this report, guys, I mean, it's comical stuff.
Look, before this report, I was only afraid of the Office of the Auditor General. Now I'm also afraid of the ombudsman.
But here's the thing, Amun. If where are all these ombudsman's reports? Because this is now the first said report that the ombudsman has done.
You're right. This is the first one I have ever come across.
Yeah, that I have also come across in the past 3-4 years since the new ombudsman took office. And just to also understand here, that as the ombudsman highlights here in his the introduction part of that thing, that the report that the ombudsman is a creation of law, and obviously it is not sort of like affiliated to any direct authority of the executive, the legislature, or judiciary. And it accounts to the National Assembly. Now, if the National Assembly has got two oversight functions, meaning you've literally got a bloodhound by the name of the ombudsman to go and verify other scenarios of human rights and stuff like that, because that was the thing that... In that one, that was the description that I once got from the previous ombudsman, Walters, when I had a short interview with him once, during that period of the COVID period into 2021. And there was a specific incident, obviously, for example, affiliated to the struggle kids. And one of the explanations he gave was that the ombudsman is there to pursue and investigate like human rights related queries, issues, complaints that come through from the broader Namibian public?
That comes through from the broader Namibian public. Yeah. That's a very interesting entrance into today's report.
Even though, which is exactly what this report is. Yeah. That's how it came to fruition, to being specifically in its sort of like its spirit. Yeah. Let me use that kind of philosophic language.
Ah, man, I didn't want to think about.
No, do you know why?
I didn't want to think about page 8. Now you brought up the spirit.
Do you know why?
What?
I engaged with a guy yesterday that I met at a few other particular events, where serious discourse about developments in the country are happening. And yesterday this guy, cause we're just acquaintances, no friends, you know, I'm past that age, bro, where I call everybody friend now. I don't call anybody friends. You're just an acquaintance. So, this guy uses the term, sort of like the spiritual element of political leadership. I went like, what are you saying? He said, yeah, there is a spirituality to leadership. I'm like, what are we, which path are we on about here?
I know that path, Donald Trump path.
Donald Trump is not spiritual, Helmut.
Well,
he just loves the performative situation, you know, the 20,000 pastors that were putting their hands symbolically on him in the Oval Office, you know, like last week, that situation, that's performance. Donald Trump doesn't go to church.
Yeah.
Even though Friedrich Merz, and that's why I love Friedrich Merz. Okay, I don't love him because sometimes he looks like a guy that is trying to correct everything that Olaf Scholz was doing in Olaf Scholz's tenure as Chancellor of Germany. Yeah. But Merz looks more like a guy that thinks he has a plan. And then many Germans came out and said, but he's trying to push through the same plan that Scholz was trying to have approved in the German parliament or the Bundestag. And now Merz just looks like a guy that goes like, okay, what's going on here? Now Merz obviously comes from the same party coalition like what his predecessor, Chancellor predecessor, Merkel comes from. Merz showed up most last year at the White House and brought along proof of heritage of Donald Trump. And he showed Trump, listen, you're not Scottish. I don't know who told you that you are Scottish or English. You're technically German. You're technically German by a long shot. So here's proof of heritage. So yeah, you can possibly become a German, a naturalized German in one other way. So I don't know if Merz was trying to perform there. However, Helmut, the performances are obviously contained within this report, just like the performances which were completely done by the Auditor General back on Tuesday. Because the Auditor General's guys, that trio of auditors, they obviously weren't mincing words. Because I felt every sentence, like, you know, when you go for acupuncture, if you've ever gone for acupuncture, which I have never gone for, I'd like to go one day. Every sentence, Helmut, in that first 8 pages of the report we did on Tuesday, felt like, you know, when the acupuncturist literally is like an ex-wife, not that I've ever been married in my life, but I'm just imagining the situation. It's probably an ex-husband going for acupuncture with the ex-wife because the ex-wife is some sort of a medical practitioner and the ex-wife just stabs a little bit too deep. And we're talking about past the skin level, you know, so that you actually feel the acupuncture needle. So that's what that report felt like for like 8 pages. Today's report feels like someone rubbed some hot oil on their palm and they decided to slap it into the ordinary Namibian public's face. Because what this report proves, Helmut, is an assertion, not an assertion, a suspicion that the public has had in terms of how recruitment takes place in state-owned entities. I'm just going to leave it there.
Which is why I really like the fact that this whole thing came out in the form of a report.
Yeah.
Yeah, because first of all, allegations were made about a recruitment process within Amra. And then this whole thing is actually beautiful from the beginning, because instead of just going straight to some calling your journalist friend and start giving them half cooked information so that they can just publish newspaper articles about Namra this, Namra that. The process taken by this Agrib Namibian is a very is one that's actually recommended. So they went straight to.
And it's technically a whistleblower.
Yeah.
She's technically a whistleblower.
Yeah. When
I can only identify her gender, because technically Helmut and I, we can't identify her, even though her name was on the list. We just didn't make out which name. Because there are lists.
One long list.
Yeah. There are lists in this report. But obviously, in terms of the safety of the identity of the aggrieved member of public, and we can only also identify from which region she applied from.
Because it's also in the report.
Yeah, because they had this nationwide external vacancy advert that were seeking, what was it, tax officers across the country back in 2023. So that was the process. That was the, and this is now where I go into sort of like my quasi-legal state of description or descriptive of things. Which was bona fide, meaning it was in good faith.
Yeah.
That part of Namra's, process, which you can see because it's being described in the report.
Yeah.
Namra put out an external advert across the country calling for submissions and for applications from across the country for the various zones of the country that Namra will have offices in, meaning to source Namibians from all regions for the various posts. But then the horror begins. That's where the horror begins. Helmut, to you.
I'll start from there. Now, the report says, and I quote, lest you sue me.
Okay, we've got to do this like we're telling a ghost story. You know?
No, look, this guy must produce more of these reports. It's beautiful.
Okay. Besides some of the typographical errors and some of the
those ones are even in the Parliamentary Standing Committee report. Those ones are worse. Sorry, guys.
Well, I at least hoped enough of the Ombudsman, because they're like one entity. And how many reports have we ever seen of them?
Mm-mm.
Nothing before this one. So you would have hoped at least, that they at least did a spell checking exercise, which is one thing. But yeah.
Look, one thing I like is all these typos it's a good thing. It's a sign, it's a sign for me that we are not using ChatGPT. We're just,
Definitely. Thank you. Oh, okay, no. Then I endorse that reasoning. Thank you. It shows the fallibility of us humans, and we ensure that, we're telling it supposedly like we observed it.
Yeah.
No, that's someone's punchline. We can't use someone's slogan.
Really?
No, we can't. Even though it's just basic English. But anyway, saying, Helmut.
Oh, come on. We've been using "we are too few to be poor" for a very long time now. President is so coming for us. I would like it to be a team spirit. Now, the second part starts from page 9. The first part is the introduction. Now, this report is coming out of the office of, coming from Office of the Ombudsman. Ombudsman Namibia, the other side of the story. That's my favorite part. I'm like, that's one motto.
That's a slogan.
That's the slogan. The other part, the other side of the story.
Yeah.
Now, one sort of like a piece of reference that they basically point here is as to why they actually do, why the reasons behind these investigations like this is the proper administration of justice. Yeah.
Or actually getting to the bottom of a dispute.
Getting to the bottom of
a dispute. Without having to go to court.
Like solving it. Now, one fun fact about Namibia, the constitution of Namibia and constitution of South Africa is that Article 18 of the Namibian constitution is basically a summarized version of Section 33 of the South African constitution. But what they all emphasize is when you are in public office, do anything to make sure that you are administering your role in the most fair or equal way possible. You know, you are not abusing office or cutting corners to basically aggrieve someone, because
so that means the guys of Tuesday's report were literally not working. Well, even though the report actually says they were not working, because they were like, trust me, bro.
Just
holler at me, man.
Oh, by the way, trust me, bro, is also in this report.
Yeah, no. Here, remember that when I was on leave, the autocracy report.
Autocracy report.
Yeah, the one, the guide to identifying how an autocracy happens. The discussion you did back in January.
Specifically
where you find government officials who assume roles that are not in their job descriptions, nor outlined within any legal statute that actually, that the entity that they work in is based upon.
Yeah, you're just doing it because, well, it's me.
Yeah.
I can do it.
And, oh man, this report is lovely. In a very mellow way, it's so lovely.
Yeah, someone is drooling. What is this report about? Let's introduce the report. Now, let's allow the report to introduce itself. Mm-hmm. This report is based on is titled "The Investigation Report on Allegations." Keywords: allegation of discrimination and maladministration in the recruitment process of assistant tax officers by the Namibian Revenue Agency, NAMRA. Now, then you go. To page 2. It sort of like summarizes, gives some kind of a backstory what brought about the investigation and ipso facto the report. Now, the ombudsman received a complaint from a citizen alleging discrimination on the basis of ethnicity. The complainant alleges that she has a reason to believe employment after participating in a NAMRA recruitment process, which included a vetting process, because she hails from Kavango East region. She further made allegations of maladministration by NAMRA, more specifically that she applied for a position of assistant tax officer, passed an interview, and was recommended for appointment. However, NAMRA ostensibly amended the advertisement requirement from the interview process.
Yeah, that's the typo, Haramu. Don't worry. Yeah. Just flow on.
Yeah. Advertised requirements after the interview process was completed. Yeah. After they amended the advertisement requirement after the interview process was completed. You have to understand, now you have to put in mind, we are still under the allegations that were made here to the Office of the Ombudsman. This is what they basically set out to investigate. However, NAMRA ostensibly amended the advertised requirements after the interview process was completed, which then led to her not receiving the offer for employment. She considers this ex post facto amendment the advertisement requirement and/or change in selection criteria as unfair, unjust, unlawful, and prejudicial to her.
And I thought this was probably like a rabbit hole.
Now, Now, you can imagine the ombudsman is just sitting there and listening to all this. You can also imagine some written, some written type of documentation were provided. Yeah, to the ombudsman, like this and this and this and this and this is how I feel I've been treated by this SOE. Now, their job was to basically, well, like their, you know, like, is it their motto? What word am I missing here? Hear both sides of the story.
The other side of the story.
Yeah, the other side of the story. So they got the complainant side of the story. So then they took that and went to NAMRA to hear NAMRA's side of the story. Talk about democracy. Now, well, the other side of the story starts from page 9.
Guys.
I don't know why I'm so excited.
From today, you will just hear red flags from page 9. That's all. Because literally the introductory part just says, sketches the picture. Just says, listen, okay, we've got this status. We went and spoke to NAMRA's people. They sketched the picture. Mm-hmm. And then an interview process began between the ombudsman
and NAMRA.
Now, this is where the horror begins.
And they documented everything.
Every response that NAMRA gave them. And they fact-checked every response.
Newsflash, when you are being interviewed by these guys, don't cough because they are going to record it.
No. Newsflash, don't make up something. And those guys fact-check you and tell you, this is unconstitutional that you're doing. Your whole process is unconstitutional. But yeah, Hamoud, you were still on a trend.
Don't cough. Okay. Because if you just say, they'll be like, okay, and then he sneezed. Next.
Why are you wiping your nose? What's going on here? Huh? Who said cough?
Yeah. So, there's some kind of interview process going on here. One example, now the interesting thing is it starts with a response from NAMRA, the one in italics, and then the ones that's not in italic, from the look of things, that's like
the observation.
Yeah, the observation by the ombudsman on what was said.
Yeah.
If you look at page 9. On this point, NAMRA's management commented on the draft report as follows. Now you're looking at the decision was taken long before the process was concluded, hence the due diligence to ascertain that it was carried through the letter and spirit. My favorite part. On that statement alone, the decision was taken. You're talking about all these mid amendments. Yeah. The decision was taken long before the process was concluded, hence the due diligence to ascertain that it was carried through to the letter and spirit. In the absence, now that's ombudsman's, responding to that statement. In the absence or the failure of NAMRA to provide us with any specific date and records of management's decision, it is very difficult, if not impossible, for office to determine the absence of any arbitraries or otherwise irregularity thereof. Again, back to the report of Tuesday. Which is why I started with career politicians. If you are going to say something to these guys, make sure you have paper document to back it up with. Otherwise, it's going to end up with a report in the report. And when it ends up on Eagle FM, on Eagle FM with Helmut and Dwight, we don't have the political correctness. We just call it trust me, bro.
Yeah. I've got onions, cooking oil. No, I have to change from cooking oil now to olive oil. I've got onions, olive oil. Helmut's got the spices and we will braai it thoroughly.
Okay. Now go with B.
So, okay, let me first get my documentation, Helmut. I was busy gallivanting here in terms of listening. So, going on to the B part.
B. You are NAMRA. I'm ombudsman. Okay. Go for B.
Okay. Are we still on page 9? I was going to start on page 7, Helmut. But anyway.
Okay.
Let's go with B. Yeah.
Let's go with B.
I'll be NAMRA. Like you said. Okay. So in B, Because I was still fixating on one particular point that was being fact-checked by the ombudsman. So, Namra, guys, give an observation. Now, remember, the Auditor General and the ombudsman, they give government agencies, offices, and ministries the opportunity to respond to a draft report.
Yeah.
Hence the reason why Tuesday's report was literally just a one-sided cricket match. Every shot that the Auditor General was playing, the Namra's guys and the Director of Mines, they couldn't catch the ball.
Yeah.
Here, literally, you could see it's like it's supposed to be an even match, but the match is once again.
Yeah, this one was a little like, you know, a little like home run.
Yeah.
This was a conversation.
Technically, it was. Basically, it was. So, on the part of B. Now, this is regarding the commentary given, the commentary given by Namra management, the three HR officials given to Ombudsman regarding the draft report. So, on B, because Helmut started with A, management has power and authority to decide on the skills / talent to satisfy the institution's requirement or the institution requirements. The decision to recruit unemployed graduates and candidates on short-term contractual basis was informed by the higher unemployment rate in the country, and Namra has a role to play in alleviating socioeconomic disparities affecting our country. Helmut, kindly show up with your bucket of water and douse that red flag that they
before,
just cited there.
Before I even get in here, first of all, before I even get into the office of the Ombudsman's office to respond to that statement, I cannot believe that was used as an excuse.
Oh, it was.
And
it was.
Well, commercial break.
We all have that one thing only we do. That unique thing that makes you real, just like Vintuk beer. For some, it's that secret handshake thing that makes you feel like family. For others, it's that brave hold my beer thing when the moment calls for courage. For friends, it's that fun patkos and cooler box thing where the best memories are made. And for Vintuk beer, it's that barley hops and water thing. Let's raise a Vintuk beer for that real thing only you do. 100% real beer for real people. Not for sale to persons under 18. Drink responsibly.
Oh, and we are back.
Yeah.
Yeah. Management has the power. Oh no, that's the part that you read. Yeah, I would now with ombudsman. Yeah, no. Namra is a public body. Article 18 of the Namibian Constitution directs that public bodies and officials shall act fairly. Accordingly.
Just stop there.
Okay.
Just recite that same, that last part. Shall?
Namra is a public body. Article 18 of the Namibian Constitution directs that public bodies and officials shall act fairly.
Full stop. Just let that sink in there, guys. Just let it sink in. Okay, Hamut. You may continue.
So, first, let me just translate that part. Translation, power and management.
Management has power and authority.
Management has power and authority.
Does not exist.
Does not exist. Does not give you an excuse to not follow the law.
Does not exist. Let me say it again. Anyone at an SOE who comes and says, management has power and authority, it's not your father's company.
It's not, unfortunately.
It's not your father's company. It's not your company. It's a public company.
Ombudsman here was quick to remind.
But in a soft way, in a gentle way.
They're being politically correct, but they're unlike us. We don't care. Now, look.
No, we're busy brying. That fire is literally like waist high, Helmut. We don't need a grill. We just need to throw the steaks directly onto the logs. But yeah.
Yeah. So, Ombudsman was quick to point out that, okay, I totally understand the power of management, the power and authority of management, but also you have to understand that Article 18 of the Constitution
governs you.
Triumphs the power and whatever power and authority that management has. That's a very nice reminder, which is a very, good response. Now, moving on. Accordingly, any discretion must be exercised in compliance with all relevant principles of administrative law as set out in the common law, statutory law, and the Constitution. Our law does not sanction absolute discretion by public officials.
Now we end there again. Let that sink in once again, guys.
Namibia is a beautiful country.
You know, I love systems. I like systems.
I know, right?
Because systems tell you very nicely, what are you doing? You cannot do that.
Do you know who I am? Yeah. Yes, I do. In fact, I know who you are. You are management. You have the power authority, but the real power resides here.
Yeah. This is the real power. You are not the power. Your power doesn't just pop up from anywhere. And you know what? They actually used, was it in this description, Ahmed, where we are at in B, where the, yeah, I think it's this one where they use the word estoppel. It's been a long time since I've ever seen estoppel. Estoppel is, what's that, when it comes to like the, is it power of attorney?
A promissory estoppel. That's mostly used in contract law.
Yeah, which usually sometimes comes through when you've got like things like power of attorney or the transference of authority in one or another way.
Yeah, it's mostly you have an obligation to fulfill.
Yeah. And guys, please, if you ever hear, I'm not saying go pick a fight now with a traffic officer, please. Mm-hmm. But if you ever hear an SOE official tell you, management has power and authority.
Remind them.
Now I know of Article 18.
Remind them, does your power go beyond Article 18?
I know of Article 18 today. Today's the day. Article 18 is the one. But yeah, Helmut, you were still saying.
Now, moving on with our... Yeah, then it goes on to say...
After officials, besides.
Yeah. Besides, NAMRA has a recruitment, selection, and induction policy, the recruitment policy, which was not followed according to our analysis thereof. NAMRA's power and authority to make any decision in this context must be informed by law. So policies, and aside from the recruitment policy, none were provided to us. Again, we are back to trust me, bro.
And that's just B. That's just B. In A, it was a question of the decision was taken long before the process was concluded. That's the first part of the response you just have to focus on. The observation that the ombudsman had was in the absence or the failure of NAMRA to provide us with any specific date and records of a management decision where that power and authority comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Because the response was, the decision was taken long before the process was concluded, hence the due diligence to ascertain that it was carried through to the letter and spirit. But they failed to provide documentary evidence through minutes, meeting minutes, management engagements, something that was signed off that gives documentary proof of this decision. Mm-hmm. Where did this decision emanate from?
So you're just telling me that it's come from management, but you're not providing me with the documentary evidence.
Yeah, which is the trust me, bro scenario. So this also then...
This is trust me, bro week.
No, but this is trust me, bro, in terms of, I got you. You know, because this was employment. So employment has, you know, I got you, bro. I got you.
Mm-hmm.
But with Tuesday's report, it was literally... Trust me, you know, it's just, we're just satisfying a specific exercise. So trust me.
Yeah,
it's not going to boomerang anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Just trust me. Send me through what you've got there. Type up whatever spreadsheet you've got.
Send it through.
You know what? I'll just work on it on Monday. Anakam, it's Wednesday this week.
Look, I'm just realizing how easy it is to get into trouble in public office.
No, Helmut. Here's the sledgehammer on the nail. Realization that technically public officials are not working. I have to be honest. Uh-huh. The discussion of Tuesday, the discussion of today, discussion of the day means they quickly subvert something that's set out.
Uh-huh.
You can't reinterpret it. You can't mold it to your own liking. The Constitution is the Constitution.
Uh-huh.
And the act, the articles and acts that emanate from that Constitution is not up for interpretation by a management of an HR company of a state-owned enterprise.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. So specifically, that just shows you that they will cut corners to do a job without doing the job properly.
Yo.
The discussion of Tuesday was, I don't want to work. I don't want to step on toes. I don't want to act in bad faith. But then we have a president and ministers who are being asked the question of, so how are you going to do your trickle-down economics? Or how are you going to do your minerals beneficiation strategy for all the Namibians?
Yeah.
And even Helmut, even in the discussions, because I'm going most tonight to another oil discussion tonight.
Yeah.
Even discussions like that, and that happens from civil society to, okay, the private sector guys are trying their best, but the one that I attended of the NIBDB investment thing where the private sector guys were the ones that wrote up those guides. I asked them the questions of, we sit in Windhoek, but none of them can answer the question, why does Windhoek look the way it does here, besides the centralization of power?
Yeah.
But if you just drive to Okahania, or you just drive to Otjiwarongo, or if you just drive to Grootfontein, Tsumeb, Omaruru, you name those towns. Omaruru is going to get a FIFA-approved football field. But Helmut, you can literally walk through Omaruru in one day. Omaruru is getting a FIFA level, FIFA categorized, CAF approved, Olympic Committee approved football stadium. In Omaruru.
Yeah.
Do you know what's the biggest facility in Omaruru?
What is that?
The Omaruru prison.
One more time.
The Omaruru prison is the biggest facility in Omaruru.
You don't say.
No, literally. But you can't put a FIFA-level stadium in Otjiwarongo. You can't put a FIFA-level stadium even in Tsumeb. Tsumeb.
Yeah, it's going to sink. There's a lot of mines going on.
It won't sink, Helmut. No, it literally won't sink. Here's the thing. If you've got proof of mining in a vicinity, in some cases, you can sometimes see, what's the strength of the ground level and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Okay. You might also have a particular fact in that particular comment you made. But here's the scenario also. Why would you not build that stadium? Let's, for example, say in Oshakati. Make it even though Oshakati already has a stadium, a major sports facility itself.
Yeah.
But why would we not build facility there?
So you think you should have been built in a place that's has a larger population or a bigger in terms of size?
That is a regional administrative capital.
Oh, okay. Regional administrative
yes,
capital.
Yes, large population density, has adequate access to other basic services, meaning there's adequate transport networks, meaning road infrastructure and stuff like that with an airport. Now I ask you, Helmut, now you want to fly in, let's say, top-notch sports teams to Omaruru. So now they must all drive a bus.
From Windhoek.
So who's going to build the airport? And what size is that airport going to be? What's it going to land? It's going to land, inflatable donkey carts or what? What are we doing here?
Inflatable donkey carts?
I had to think of something.
You're not going to Omaruru, are you?
I've been there. It's my Mensa day. But I've probably been what they call that excommunicado after these comments. But yeah.
Look, back to now the ombudsman report.
Mm.
One thing which I already pointed out, which I think it's I just find fascinating about this type, this way of doing things is. Number one, I'm so happy that I'm not, I didn't get this from a newspaper article.
Mm.
Yeah. This is coming from an authorized body that basically did a deep digging to get, to hear both sides of the story.
Mm.
From allegations that are being made with regards to Namra's recruitment of, of that particular time to Namra's response. And, allegations that were made, And the response, on the other hand, look, this whole thing reminded me of, have you seen that interview of Simon Gwangwanjala? Why are you gay? The one that went viral. My stance on that interview has always...
You know that guy's he's a meme. He's a meme hero.
He is.
They use him because he was popped up here in during COVID as well, because the Americans and the Europeans were bored during COVID.
Oh yeah.
And then they were starting to look at they even watched that movie of yours, Who Killed Captain Alex. They even watched that movie and they were enjoying themselves, and then they started coming across that guy, that Ugandan TV personality,
yeah,
with why are you gay?
Yeah.
And everybody was just like, what question is this? And then the Nigerian guy that asked, why are you running? Why are you running?
I don't know, TikTok is full of those. Now, the thing is, when it comes to that interview, my stance, I've always been, Pepe Julian Onzima? I think I would have done a better job defending the LGBTQ community, because she was terrible.
Mm.
Yeah. And when Pastor came in with evidence, which he presented and then started eating the evidence shortly after, things just went downhill. Oh, yeah, the pastor started eating the evidence shortly after the demonstration. that's one thing that sets that interview apart.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why I'm using that reference is because start from page 9, and this whole thing is running until page 10, because it's going from page, from letter A to F, where you have this, numerous response from the draft report and the ombudsman's response to that, to that response of their draft report. So it's more like you can basically at least you can see that both sides are having, both sides are saying something here. This Namra is saying this, and the ombudsman is putting out their response to that. So that's where...
As long as you don't mention D, Helmut.
Mm?
D.
Oh.
When Namra was making an assertion of something, and the ombudsman's guys are like, we were never looking at this thing even.
You're now snitching on yourself here. Now...
Man, I love this report. This report is so mellow. It's like two people who are arguing by whispering at each other.
No, look. I think this should be a template. All the, Office of the Auditor General, Parliamentary Report, National Council, Standing Committee, they must adopt this reporting, this report format.
Yeah.
Of, this is what, okay, take the capital projects, for example.
Mm.
We were in Kavango East region. We met with this councillor or this authority or this body.
Yeah.
This is what they said. This is our response.
This is what we observed.
Yeah, this is what
we asked them to respond, and this is what they said.
Exactly. Yeah, thank you. This is what we observed. We sent them a draft report, and this is their response, and this is our response to that response. It really shows that whole, hear both sides, which is basically what our world, Namibia's justice system, is based on. The whole... The fancy Latin phrase for it is Audi alterum patent. That's where the company Audi literally got the name.
Mm.
The story goes, the founder of the Audi car was fired, and he felt like they didn't hear his side of the story. So he decided to start his own company. So his son was a law student, I think, at the time.
Mm.
Basically, he got the name from there, Audi alterum patent. Now, Audi is where you get the word audio. Yeah.
Mm.
Alterum, that's alter, as in other, alter ego. The English words like patem, that's basically party. It's self-explanatory. So English and Latin are basically one and the same for the most part. So listening to both sides of the story, I know you are telling me that you are gripped in this and this and this way, but I also have to go that side and listen to their side of the story.
Mm. You can't just stop me here. Or I can't just end here.
Yeah, I can't just take your word for it.
Yeah.
Yeah, this ombudsman saying, okay, these are very genuine concerns that you have, but I just can't take your words for it. I have to go and sit with Namra officials and hear their side of the story.
Yeah.
And boy, were those guys terrible at telling their side of the story. I'm sorry, guys.
Talk about self-cooking, né? Or self-baking yourself. Being able to bake yourself. I'm like, my goodness, look at... I don't know why they were defensive.
I think that's part of the problem. They went full defense
mode. Yeah, they went full defense mode because obviously if look, the Ombudsman is a sister agency or a sister office, né? Even though it doesn't report to a ministry or to a judiciary function, it at least has a function that you know they will anyway report this to, let's say, the relevant particular authorities. The downside here was to do observations just like with the Tuesday discussion, the Trust Me Bros, where the Auditor General's guys, the auditors went and said, listen, okay, give you insights on this draft report that we've highlighted. Then they sit down for a meeting. And in the meeting, once again, the auditors ask, so did you guys go and find any documentary evidence for the claims that you are making?
Mm-hmm.
No. Did you guys go and make or communicate recommendations from the draft report that you've seen and read from us? No. Okay. Did you guys have any sort of like meetings, engagements, corrective, you know, engagements to try and correct the situation currently? No.
Not looking good.
No. Not looking good. Weirdest part is also, Helmut, C, part C specifically.
Uh-huh.
Where, okay, must I do Namra again?
Please.
Okay. So in C, just after the B engagement, which obviously highlighted the powers that the management does not have.
Authority.
For the authority that they claimed they have.
That's the worst excuse you can use. Management has the power and authority. Ombudsman was like, no, you don't.
No, you don't. Who said so? Well, you're an Article 18 institution. What's wrong with you guys? Now, here's the particular engagement that then pops up in the review process of this draft report. C. This is now Namra's feedback to the observation. Your findings and recommendations should also be based on provisions that have been breached, either operational procedures, policies, or law. Helmut.
All right. Ombudsman, we requested certain information and documents from Namra, but we didn't get full cooperation. Nevertheless, we tried to point out to the institution which policies and the law it might have breached.
So, first, you claim a holier-than-thou position. Second, when you were asked for documents to reinforce a decision or decisions, or why certain possible policies, possible laws, and possible statutes were breached, you failed also to supply.
Yeah. And then they tell you that, okay, we know you did not apply, supply us with any policies or legislation, but we are going to, you know, according to our observation, based on the information that we are given to work with, these are the laws that we think you have breached.
Yeah.
And one is already pointed out in B, that's Article 18.
Yeah.
You can't just say, well, management has power and authority.
Yes, from where? I mean, I like that sentence. From where? You know, I should have been there. I was like, from where do you have this power?
That's exactly why you were not there.
Yeah.
Now,
why do you have to be so mean, Amun? I would have been there. I was like, from where are you getting this power?
No, look, there's a reason why you and I are here and not there.
And not there.
And this is exactly why.
I would have been the first. You know, I would have been ready for a fight. That I would have said, "From where are you getting this power?" No, in the act of And what is that act is based upon? It's based upon that other act. Yeah. And what other act is there that even supersedes all these two that you mentioned? Article 18.
Oh. Now.
You know, we used to do that weird thing on high school where they would go like, if you have a mic drop moment, then the kids would go like, "Dwash." I'm like, what the hell are you guys doing? No, we're just making, you know, just rubbing it in for no reason. So that literally is the mic drop moment right there.
Now, a concerned citizen felt like she was not treated well by an SOE or a public entity. Then they just sat there, and with all their infinite wisdom, they decided, you know what? The right body to approach with this problem is the ombudsman. So they went to the ombudsman. Ombudsman is like, okay, you know what? We're not going to take your story for, I mean, just your word for it. And then started cooking Namra. So we'll just go and ask them, you know, so that we can hear their side of the story. Then Namra started cooking themselves.
No one even needed to add the yeast or even heat. It just happened.
Provided their own firewood.
Yeah.
Now, the thing is, when you go to, dear management, if anyone of you guys send me to Namra, I'm not going.
Yeah, man, I mean, we will need bodyguards at the gate, man.
Look, I think I have to behave. My headphone cushions are... I may have to order new ones. My headphone cushions are wearing off. I may have to order new ones. Now, this is exactly why I'm saying, ombudsman, they were just doing their job. They heard the complainant story. They wanted to hear Namra's side of the story. Things Namra's, whoever was picked to basically represent Namra here.
It was the three HR people.
They didn't do a very good job judging by the report.
The worst part is the people who, the Namra executives who participate in this were literally the main executive, where HR falls under, the HR manager, and the HR officer.
Oh boy.
Now, here is...
Speaking of HR.
that's our acronym, guys. Speaking of D, this is what happened in D. There is also...
He's still playing Namra.
Yeah, I'm still playing Namra. There is also no evidence to suggest that the human resources personnel lacks competencies. Helmut.
We have not made any allegations.
Look, I'm sorry, guys. Guys, we're sorry, but literally, that's what the ombuds guys did not look into. They didn't look at competencies.
Sorry, let me just finish.
Yeah.
We have not made any allegations about the lack of competencies on the part of human resources personnel. Because the decision that we are querying about is a management decision. Look, when someone is basically correcting you in a way that sort of like low-key explains how you should run your house, it's very painful.
That's not where we were looking. But now you want us to go and look somewhere else also.
But thank you for bringing it up. Should we look into that too?
Oh, don't worry, we will get our flashlight.
Yeah, that's a politically correct way of saying, that's not what I said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wasn't even looking there.
But
thank you.
Look, believe me, I would pay a lot of money to be in this room where this conversation was held.
In 2024?
Yeah.
No, in 2023. This conversation...
The report is from 2024.
Yeah, because the conversation apparently took place in between 2023 to 2024.
I don't know what you smoked, man. I don't know what type of
agenda. I mean, the cross-examination that would have taken place from there. Talk about looking guilty. Look, sounding guilty is one thing. The look in that particular engagement would be like, what are you saying?
Look, the painful part is this whole thing. Even if it's, even if it was one of those things where you are just, you just follow the policies, but then you are just, you make a terrible defender.
Mm.
Yeah, because that's basically what's going on here. Because
I was now thinking of a soccer defender. Yeah.
Look, if you look at page 9 and 10, from A to F, what ombudsman is asking here is, everything that you are going to say, everything that you did in this whole recruitment process, especially in relations to the complainant, anything that you did, I'm sure you know this is a public institution with policies and which does things according to policies and then Namibian law. Anything that you did, I'm sure you did it following a certain policy or a certain law. Yeah. So everything that you are, you know, everything that you did. Okay. First of all, I want you to tell me what you did and what policy or law that guided you in the action of what you did. That's all I'm asking. And someone went, first of all, stop calling us incompetent.
But I didn't call you incompetent.
Where is that?
We could hear the judgment. What judgment, dude? We're just doing our jobs.
Well, in America and Israel, we call it preemptive defense. Before you attack us, we'll attack you. Based on assumptions that you will attack us.
And then you do an Iran that says, I'm sorry for slapping you in retaliation to those preemptive attacks that I received. But you know what? I'm just slapping you in case.
Just in case.
Just in case. I'm just doing it.
Oh, boy.
Man, we got to love the home run, guys.
Oh, E.
We're going to make T-shirts, guys.
Oh, yeah. Home run. Oh, man. Seriously.
With famous quotes.
Yeah.
Look, that's just a pie in the sky. Don't worry, guys. Don't worry.
I think we'd make a killing. Yeah. We should have started this during
I think France will disown us before we actually make that killing. But yeah.
The first one I would go with would be Oshakati Kothrumdo. And then we'll move from there to, immortal cowhide in Ndangwa.
We are a volunteer workforce. That's still the best. We're a volunteer workforce. And then the other one was, no, what capital projects?
That one also. How are you public official?
That's still the best one. What capital projects are happening in my region?
We are here to look at the state of capital projects in your region. And someone was like, what projects? Like, huh? Are you sure you're the councillor?
but guys, okay, serious, you know, unserious things apart, and obviously putting on a serious face.
Helmut,
you were still mentioning about C specifically, C and D, or C and F, where we will end.
Oh, no, E.
Yeah, on E, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's E, sorry.
Yeah.
Why does it look like a C? Man, I need new glasses, but yeah. So, specifically when this next part pops up, dear listeners, we're obviously going to do the role playing again. But here, just to give you a heads up again, so that you know we're not just, you know, giggling here uncontrollably, because we can't believe the responses that are given. Now, Namara highlights or starts by saying, the report also overlooked the fact that the recruitment, meaning the advertisement and the shortlistings, were managed by an external consultant. We will not mention the consultant's name for now. And not internal staff. Helmut.
Talk about being thrown under the bus. Okay, sorry.
No, we can't mention certain names.
I know.
Yeah.
But
you are right.
This consulting firm is not happy after reading this report. But anyway, Ombudsman's response to that was, this fact was only revealed to us when comments were provided on our draft report and is not disputed and does not have any impact on our findings or recommendations herein. Safe to say that outsourcing of these functions might also possibly be a breach of the enabling legal framework because it is not provided for in the recruitment policy. Shooting yourself in the foot is what I see here.
Well, Helmut, you're saying in the foot. I'm seeing shooting off the foot. Because
all of it.
Yeah, because what are you standing on specifically if your recruitment policy says not to use external hiring? You know, technically an outside consultant.
Start from the beginning. Your policy says you're not allowed to use outside consultants.
Yeah.
And then...
Oh, yeah.
Then you use outside consultant. And then you reveal it without being asked.
But also, the entity investigating the process, the recruitment process, didn't even pick up.
Did not know that,
they did not even know that there was an outside consultant until...
You pointed it out.
Until draft submissions or comments on the draft was requested for by you in terms of the observations that were made by the investigating entity. So...
The report also overlooked the fact that they overlooked it. You're supposed to keep quiet. And no. Ombudsman was like, you did what? May I remind you, you're not allowed to do that.
Which they were not supposed to do. Which they were not supposed to do, Helmut.
Boy, this is painful.
I mean, it comes back to that. Remember the other NAMRA report we did, the one about the infrastructure that was not
The prefab,
the prefabricated
border infrastructure that was supposed to be used by NAMRA staff.
Where, you know, the resounding question that you and I were left with in terms of that over, and that was almost an oversight committee's report.
Yeah,
this is most now the ombudsman's report. That oversight committee report highlighted a glaring question that. Yes, probably what the oversight members thought about, those MPs, was how could you allow someone to do a job or to start doing a job for you and then allow them to literally walk away from the job, firstly accusing you specifically
for underquoting them.
That person underquoted you. Look, you're the person paying the money.
Yeah.
So technically you need the service. But the person who sent, who's on whose quote you agreed upon, comes back 6 months later saying, the money you are paying me is not enough. Says who? You and what? And what proof? Now, it's the same kind of a scenario that pops up, Helmut. A scenario that literally points towards Trust Me Bro's report on Tuesday. Because Trust Me Bro's report on Tuesday said literally, if you're not verifying the data, if you don't have a mechanism that tries to mitigate potential risk factors in checking the validity of data and data sets that comes through from the mining sector, what proof do we have or how do we know?
How do we verify what
you're
telling you?
How do we verify that the actual production output from the gold mines is the actual things that we hear about on the international gold market? And that the money's made there, how does that then flow back and reflect to the possible revenue that you were supposed to collect? Once again, that's why I told you at the start when we walked into Tuesday's, into the studio on Tuesday, that that whole report sounds like a excellent case as to why we need EITI.
Yeah.
An excellent case as to why we need EITI. But we are so late. Okay, we're not late because it's similar to like the unveiling of the Sovereign Wealth Fund, where I did an interview with one economist back in 2023 where I asked the question of, is it too late for Namibia to bring in a Sovereign Wealth Fund? Helmut, we could have brought in a Sovereign Wealth Fund literally on the 1st of January 1991 or when we became independent. Doesn't matter which time frame, but literally at the start of that decade. In 1991, we could have instituted a sovereign wealth fund of some sort to potentially try and alleviate certain particular, so let's say, so socioeconomic pressures. Meaning, all Namibians would get like, what's that thing's name? Like a universal grant scenario.
Yeah.
So that it just staves off or fights off possibly any potential sort of like, negative deprivations, you know, deprivations like not having access to money to buy food, which leads to malnutrition, which leads to someone that can't go to school, which leads to people having stunted growth and various other particular, you know, health-related impacts. But if you ask that question, you also then technically sort of like nullify your question by us by saying, but then... How would you have known that Namibia would then start having these particular pressures from 2010 onwards? or from 2005 onwards, this, coming in this direction. And then you, there's just no way, because you can't prove time travel, you can't prove looking into the future capabilities, because this is not a Harry Potter book or movie that we're talking about. We're literally talking about real life issues and real life things. So, technically, the report basically fries a whole bunch of people
in deep oil. Oh, please. You want to read F? It's sort of like a repetition of B.
Yeah, it is. It is. Mm. But we will go through it. So, Namra then starts in the next point after literally exposing something they were not supposed to do in E. They start off on F. Management of any institution takes decisions in the best interest of the institution and society, I'm putting that in there, that they serve. The decision taken by Namra is in the best interest of the Namibian society and proud to have done so or done that. End of that statement. Then Ombudsman comes up.
Once again, in terms of our legal system, discretion must be exercised in accordance with all relevant principles of administrative law as set out in common law, statutory law, and the Constitution. Our law does not sanction absolute discretion by public officials. Thus, there is an abuse of discretion when performed in a capricious or whimsical exercise of judgment, which is equivalent to lack of jurisdiction. Like I told you in B, this whole power that you think you have has limits.
This whole power that you thought you had.
Thought.
Because to think, Helmut, was the question, obviously, that they wouldn't, that they did not know that they would get such a response. Sorry, guys. But literally, they thought this part, this particular part. I'm glad the Ombudsman did something like this. Primarily because it gets to look, guys, if you've ever wondered, in terms of literally how the recruitment processes in SOEs happen. And I mean, for Helmut, for the better part of when I've always read like the corporate scandals, let's call it the corporate scandals of the SOEs in Namibia,
yeah.
You know, from the boardroom fights, the management versus boardroom disputes, you could never understand what was this based upon, because the journalist would just give you a scenario that you could see was from a whistleblower's perspective,
mm-hmm.
meaning you only relied on someone who gave it to you verbally, and you possibly would have needed like access to minutes, access to, you know, various particular sets of documents that would
mm-hmm.
expose the whistleblower to certain particular, you know, punitive actions.
Yeah.
For example, like possibly being surveilled upon by the management itself, or that the whistleblower could face, you know, worse sanctions.
Yeah.
But when the Ombudsman steps into this discussion, yeah, it looks civil now. But guys, it's the hardest slap that you've never heard in your life. You never heard the slap. And some of us, we probably have heard of loud slaps in public from school, you know, getting into public, and those guys that thought they could take a chance with, you know, in some scenarios, and then the girl just goes like, no, twacked. It sounds like it sounds literally like a Wimbledon, you know, backhand being given, but it just goes like, twacked. This report, you don't hear anything, but you can see the slap. You see it.
Everywhere go first, blah. Now.
What was that, Amut?
It's a TikTok thing, you won't understand. Look. I know that this dialogue between Namra and the Ombudsman is going, you know, is going from page 9 to page 10 of the report, and it's running from letter A to F. But just to sum it up, B and F BNF are misunderstanding of how much one of how much power one has, and C and D is I suspect because of that understanding, someone is now snitching on themselves because C and D outlines two things that the you know ombudsman does not did not seem to focus on, but it was pointed out, not to the advantage of the poor individual that was answering this question, or more like responding to this question.
Helmut, once again, it was three of them that responded.
Yeah, three of them, yeah. Yeah. So you tell me all three of them
gave these responses.
D yes. is the best they could come up with.
Yes, Helmut. There were three people giving these responses. This is probably responses from Namra, guys, not responses from the ombudsman.
The response from... C and D. Especially D. Yeah. D was just, you know, like you just said, shooting the whole foot off.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you just tuned in, Home Run with Helmut and Dwight and Namra and Ombudsman's Office for today, let's just take a quick break and we'll continue on the other side. We are 26 minutes left to the hour of 6. Home Run with Helmut and Dwight, Namra Ombudsman on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed.
We all have that one thing only we do. That unique thing that makes you real. Just like Vintuk beer.
For some, it's that secret handshake thing that makes you feel like family. For others, it's that brave hold my beer thing when the moment calls for courage. For friends, it's that fun Patkos and cooler box thing where the best memories are made.
And for Vintuk beer, it's that barley hops and water thing. Let's raise a Vintuk beer for that real thing only you do. 100% real beer for real people. Not for sale to persons under 18. Drink responsibly.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Welcome back. I don't know about you, wherever it is you are tuned in from. Thank you for tuning in. But as for us here and the wonderful report coming from the Office of Ombudsman, we're having a good time.
It's lit, guys. It's
lit. It is lit. So we have 15 minutes before we call it, basically 14 minutes before we call it a day. This whole report is basically goldmine. Now, that's where the dialogue ends. It ends on F, you know, where these representatives that are basically acting on behalf of Namra to sort of like tell Namra's side of the story or you know, on the maladministration with regards to the recruitment that was basically well submitted to the Office of Ombudsman. It doesn't get better, actually. It gets worse the deeper you go. Just after D, you have a loaded three-line paragraph that says non-adherence and disregard of recruitment policy. NAMRA's official provided our investigators, this Office of Ombudsman Investigators, our investigators with their recruitment policy that sets out a recruitment procedure that NAMRA should follow when filling vacant positions. It appears that NAMRA commenced with the recruitment process in accordance with the recruitment policy by externally advertising vacant positions. The advert indicated that the successful candidates are required to have experience and domestic taxes. In domestic taxes as follow: 3 years of a degree and diploma holders, or 5 years of 5 years for candidates with a grade 12. Unfortunately, this is where compliance with the policy ended. Unfortunately. I'm no ombudsman expert, but one thing I can pick from that sentence is they should have gone further, but they didn't.
There's another scenario that also pops up, Helmut. I mean, I'm on the wrong page. I'm on page 12. Way after F, where the non-adherence and disregard of recruitment policy, you know, that you cited.
Yeah.
But when you go into the next page where it starts onto the in addition, the following are NAMRA management's further comments on our draft report function or section. Now, for now, I'm not going to, you know, focus on the A and B part. I'm focusing on the Namibian case law that is cited in the paragraph just below A and B.
Yeah.
Where it says that in the case of Dole's Manor Properties versus Bank of Namibia of 2005, it was stated that if a statutory functionary has no power under a statutory provision to do what he or she purports to do, it is perfectly manifest that he could not by estoppel, which is like some form of is it safe to say Hamu transferred authority in a way to give himself or herself such powers.
Yeah, you can do that.
Now, the reason why I say transferred or some format of transferred authority, because what I learned in, for example, like in contract law was, and that was the commercial law at NUST/Polytechnic beforehand, was that there was an emphasis made on express or tacit implied agreement to, meaning you either through action or you literally said, yes, I accept, or yes, I will do this kind of a approach.
Yeah.
Because what it seems like in Namibian contract law is that you've got to give an indication either through body language or through action, or that you said it specifically that you will follow through on an obligation of some format. Now, this technically reinforces the perceived powers discussion, meaning they are deriving powers from somewhere and assuming said powers and authority from somewhere that is not supported anywhere.
You know what's, maybe it's just my overthinking just taking over here, because the painful part here is if you have to be told the parameters, the operation parameters of the power your office hold, it doesn't show very much to me that you understand how, you know, the operation parameters of your office, which begs the question, are you sure you know what you're doing? Because now I think this is where the emphasis on estoppel now comes in, because estoppel part is coming in from basically the foundation of the whole report document, because it's based on allegation of someone being considered, it seemed from the beginning that they were being considered for something, then halfway through some adjustments were made which led them to not also make the cut. Yeah. It's like, you know, you low key, some, you know, it's sort of like you are, you know, you are, you know, you are making a move on the other gender if you are a guy, and they are showing green lights here and there, then all of a sudden, you know, something, a switch seems to have, you know, flipped. Well, it turns out in a relationship, well, you can do that. But.
Wait, Helmut, I missed sort of like incorrectly translated a stop.
Well,
well, it technically means it's, okay, the words given here is a judicial device whereby a court may prevent or stop a person from making assertions or from going back on their word.
Yeah.
Okay, so technically I am right in the explanation because these management guys were making an assertion that they had an authority from somewhere that cannot be proved where this authority emanates from.
Yeah, halfway through, made adjustment. Because the allegations made by the complainant here is that, from their perspective, they seem to have, you know, everything seems promising until the said adjustments were made halfway through, which now led
after she did the interview. Yeah,
exactly. After that, that's when they were like, that's when things began to basically go downhill in a way that, oh, you know what, I'm not being considered anymore.
And they looked, and it looked fishy. The whole process looked fishy.
Exactly. Yeah. They were, you know what, this is fishy. Mm. So that's what, you know, ended up basically, you know, ended up, taking this individual to the Office of Ombudsman. Now, Ombudsman is going, okay, let's look at the adjustments that you made. Let's look at the legislations that you're following or the policies that you're following to make the said adjustments. Yeah. And, you know, just provide all the supporting actions that you did and the legislations that you're following or the policies that you're following that regulated or that guided you into carrying out these actions.
Mm.
Because you have to understand that I have a concerned citizen I have to answer questions to, and they have a genuine concern, which I don't want to take their words for it. I'm here to ask you.
Yeah.
That, your action seems to have been promising the complainant and
something.
Then something. Now, halfway through after your adjustments, that promise went downhill.
Or just started looking just like something else.
Yeah. Now, I know you have power. Well, every office has power, but those powers are limited because of one thing. And that, by the way, goes the same for ministers. When you look at, you know, if you just look at, you know, if you just look at Article 18 of, you know, Article 18 of the Namibian Constitution, it's, you know, it's similar in, you know, it's similar in two ways with the South African Constitution. One is historical. Yeah, historically, South Africa and Namibia were basically, well, one. Now, there was, I think for a larger part of South African, you know, more like South African, South West African constitution, it was a parliamentary supremacy.
Mm.
Now we are running on a principle of, constitutional supremacy. In other words, the fact that you're in parliament, you have the power to do this and this and this and this because you're a parliamentary, you know, public official. You can call it that. So parliamentary supremacy. So you have this discretionary power because you are a parliamentary, you know, public figure.
Yeah.
But, constitutional supremacy means it doesn't matter if you are honorable. So. The constitution carries primary decision, which is why, yes, you are in this office. Yes, you have this and this power. But you also have to understand that your power is limited by what the constitution allows you to do.
Mm.
In other words, you can make this and this decision, but if they are not in proper administration of justice, it goes against constitution, Article 18 of the constitution, which means the constitution is now, is sort of like, is going to give you a little bit of slap to tell you that, that is the direction you should be going. Because this direction, you are going to end up abusing your power, you know, your office.
And we don't we don't promote any violence, guys, of any format. But
no.
We just highlight it because we've seen it in real life sometimes.
Yeah, we saw it at Mix at some point. I just don't want to mention.
You just mentioned names, Almut.
Mm?
You just.
That's the name of a place.
Were there people that you know involved?
No, the Will Smith situation. At Mix, that's during a campaign for one party. I also don't want to mention.
Please.
Don't. Not. We don't go for that type of justice.
However, guys, we're quickly gonna take a short break, and we're gonna come back right after this.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the beauty of living in a democratic society is you get to get stories from both sides, both sides of the dispute. And from the look of things, the dispute here is, first of all, a shout out to Kavango East. That's us. Because the complainant involved alleged that she was discriminated upon because she's from Kavango East. Now, for the part of me, I'm just not digging much into that. Now, the second allegation being made is one of is the one that was heavily emphasized now by the Auditor General, the one of being, management power, management discretion of sort of like changing things halfway and leading up to the whole point of view from some of the applicants who now decided to start claiming maladministration and discrimination and stuff. But the most important part I have picked from this is not about, not the wonderful response that came out of NAMRA, according to the report, or just how awesomely, as a comedian, it's just gold. Wonderful, also one equally wonderful response that more like that came from the office of the of ombudsman. That's not what I'm actually looking at, in like home run, say, point of view. What I'm looking at is abuse of office. Abuse of office is something that is very, 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 very sensitive in a constitutional republic, which is where we find ourselves. In other words, in a parliamentary supremacy country, the parliament has the power of, has the power over the constitution. But if you are looking at constitutional supremacy, which means the constitution has the power over parliament. In other words, even if you are a member of parliament, you can't run around telling people, do you know who I am? Yes. You are honorable, this and this and this. I have power. Yeah, you have power, honorable. I know that, but I also know that that power is limited by Article 18. So you can't just run around doing anything you want because you are a member of parliament or you are, or you are head of this, of this public entity. Now, I'm not saying that's what Office of the Ombudsman or NAMRA did. No. This is just a very wonderful and juicy report where, from the look of things, NAMRA was given a chance to tell their side of the story, and they spent 90% of that chance shooting themselves in the foot. That's, according to me, that's my observation on the report, especially page 8 and 9, actually 9 and 10. Page 9 and 10. The whole thing is, it's just a 24-page report. But, what I want you to do, it's public knowledge. It's public knowledge. It's out there for you and me to read and have a conversation and basically educate ourselves. And I'm not an expert at everything ombudsman-ish or NAMRA-ish. Nope. I just like, which is why I like reports, because it's information that's already been through the eyes and hands of experts. All I just have to do is read through it. It's beautiful that way. That way, if I just cook people based on that, I don't get sued. And also, I don't put my boss in a crossfire because, well, it's not being said by me or my boss. It's being said by a report. So if you find it offensive, take it up with the ombudsman or NAMRA, not me. You gotta love reports. Now, the reason why this whole thing is, you know, why, the reason why this whole conversation, it's, you know, it's worth having, or, just to wrap it up before I go on a tangent here. First of all, shout out to that wonderful woman who just decided, you know what, who understands how the system of Namibian, the system of Namibia works, especially with regards to how to complain. So, as someone from Kavango is so proud, I'm here to tell all of you that, if you want to know the best way to complain, ask us, we'll tell you. We don't start putting half-cooked information in newspaper articles. No. We hand it over to the relevant authority. In this case, the Office of Ombudsman. And then I'll congratulate them based on this report. They are very good at investigating and listening to both sides of the story. Pretty sure I'm going to run into a number of officials who will tell me, you know that nonsense, you know, no, Ombudsman. I was just reading a report. Now. If you want to know how to complain, ask someone, ask a Kavango Istian. We know how to complain. We know how to complain. We know which authorities to go to for what. So proud of us. And then, the Office Ombudsman also did not just, listen to that, you know, like, you know what? We'll just go to NAMRA and show them, which is more often the mentality of a lot of unions, activists, and political parties. I'll just go there and show them. Thank you for coming to me. Thank you for telling me. I'll just go there and show them. Office Ombudsman did not do that. They just went, you know, they had the side of the story of the complainant. They decided to go and hear the story of NAMRA, who, once again, painfully started shooting themselves in the foot 90% of the time. Now, that's on them, not office. Careful of who you represents your company. And they decided to hear both sides of the story. And then drew a conclusion, compiled a report, and unfortunately for them, actually fortunately for them, that report happened to land in the hands of yours truly and Dwight. And, unlike both of these guys, Helmut and Dwight have microphones in their face for an hour and a half, 5 days a week. Actually, 5 days a week, working days, and I don't know about Dwight, but 2 hours a weekend for me. That makes it 5-7 hours a week for me. And believe me, I love my microphone. Now, moving on. That is how you complain, Namibians. That's how you complain. This whole mostly activist and political party mentality of, I will just go there and show them, thank you for coming to me. If the ombudsman guys, you know, did that, we would not have this awesome response from NAMRA. Because instead of telling that lady, the ombudsman guys would have just got, just for public relations, they could have gone with, you know what, they did what? They discriminated you? Because of, Basilius Diakua. Oh, yeah, that! Diakua. Now, this is a Kavango versus Kavango conversation going on here. He could have just gone with, you know what? They did that to you? Oh, you know what? Well, since, this Kavango conversation, let's go to NAMRA and show Shivute. Ah, that guy's a vampire. Let's go and show him. They didn't do that. What's called being professional is, first of all, I am Basilius Diakua, but this report or this complaint was not brought to me. It was brought to Ombudsman. It's an entity, not me personally. Now, when I go there, I'm not going to murder Sam Shivute. No. I'm going to sit and with representatives of the entity, NAMRA. Not an individual, the entity, NAMRA. So they can represent. Boy, did they do a terrible job. Did I point that out? Because they really did a terrible job. They sat with the entity, had NAMRA side of the story, had the complainant side of the story, compiled a report. Again, big mistake. The report happened to land on our desk. Big mistake for them and a bonus for us because we just decided, right, let's get to the cooking. So, if you want the best, if you want to learn how to complain, especially in the public sector, put your hands on that report. You can never go wrong. Yeah, unfortunately for me, that brings us to the end of today's home run. And please get put your hands on that report and just, you are going to love page 18. You are going to love page 18 all the way to 22. Page 18 to 22 is even more cooking. And that cooking is done mostly, well, on the frying pan here from the look of things is NAMRA. And the chef is Ombudsman. And it's not looking good. Not for us. It's looking really good for Helmut and Dwight and Eagle FM. It's just not looking good for NAMRA. So, if you find yourself in public office, the more I got in this report, the more I realized just how easy it is to get into trouble in public office because of technical issues. With that, until tomorrow, same time, same place on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM, from yours truly here, and Dwight in absentia because he's going to gather more reports. You all have a blessed evening, and please do stay tuned for Business with Roy.